Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. In our text for this morning, we hear God the Father speaking to his eternal Son. The words come from the 49th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning with the 8th verse as follows. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all the desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water will he guide them. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our heavenly leader, dear friends in Christ. To a newborn child, only one person is important. We fathers, of course, like to think that we're important too, but it's really the mother who is the center of a new child's universe. The mother, after all, who provides the child with food, warmth, security, entertainment, protection. At least for the first few months, it's mom who is at just about everything the child needs. We who are grown are a little bit different, aren't we? We need to rely on a number of different things to satisfy our needs and many different people. We rely on the grocer to supply our food, the policeman to protect us, the doctor to cure our illnesses. But from another point of view, from the Christian perspective, we too rely on a single person to take care of all of our wants and needs. That person is Jesus Christ. In our text for today, we hear him described as a kind of spiritual jack of all trades, someone who does many different jobs, all of them with the same goal, to provide for the needs of his believers. That's why our theme this morning is Jesus Christ is everything we need. Well, you might be tempted to take that statement with a bit of a grain of salt. Jesus is everything I need? Of course, Jesus is important in my life. But it's going a little far to say that he's everything I need. But that's exactly what God is saying here. He's saying that Jesus is willing and able to fulfill every spiritual and physical need of every person on earth. Some of these are big spiritual needs that most of the unbelievers around us don't even know that they have. Take the first one that our text mentions, for example. Jesus is described as the great restorer. Verse 8 says, I will give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. Well, what is it in people that needs to be restored? What was it that mankind lost way back in the Garden of Eden that tainted all creation with sorrow and sin and death? They lost the image of God, the righteous and holy image in which mankind was created by God, and that was lost when Adam and Eve fell into sin. All of us have inherited that loss from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and Jesus is the only one who can give that righteousness back to us, who can restore to us the righteousness we need. The text says Jesus will cause us to inherit the desolate heritages. What a vivid picture that is. I was reminded of that some time ago when I was driving out in a country road and I saw an old farmstead, and all that was left of it was the foundation. Just a few foundation stones that showed the place where a family had once lived. I thought about it and made me kind of sad. That place, so desolate, so tumbled down, had once been a family home. People had lived there. Children once grew up there and played there. And now there's nothing left. It's a desolate heritage, so far gone that you can hardly even see the foundation with the weeds growing up around it. A few bricks and the outline of a house are all that remain. How sad. God says that our souls were the same way by nature. Desolate heritages, ruined and tumbled down and marked with sin. But Jesus has restored the desolation. With the sacrifice he made for us on the cross, he has built it up again and made us thrive again. He has given back to us by faith that image of God, that perfect righteousness that you and I could never earn for ourselves. It's just as if a thriving new family home suddenly appeared on that desolate old foundation. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus is also described as our liberator, the one who calls us forth from that old captivity, that dark prison of our sin. And finally, our text pictures us believers as sheep and Jesus as the shepherd who provides for all our needs. Of the Christians, our text says that they shall feed along the roads and their pastures shall be on all the desolate heights. When you hear those words, you might be thinking those don't sound like very luxuriant, well-watered places for livestock to graze. Trampled down roads and barren rocky hilltops, they normally have little if any food to offer for livestock. But God's saying that even in the most desolate places and even under the most trying hardships, he's going to make his people, his beloved children in Christ, to thrive. It's hard to imagine more spiritual, barren place than our world of 2022. That's what's so comforting about this promise, because it assures us that no matter what kind of spiritual wasteland we venture forth into, our Lord is going to make sure we've got plenty of nourishment, not just for our bodies, but for our souls as well. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Our text says, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. Perhaps some of you have experimented with various kinds of diets in an attempt to lose weight. If you're like me, you may have to admit that those experiments have not always been entirely successful. But in any case, you're probably familiar with the feeling that I get from time to time whenever I'm on a diet. I long to give up the rabbit food, the carrot sticks, and the salad, and the skinless chicken, and dive into a plateful of really rich food. Well, my Christian friends, I'm happy to tell you that the bread of life isn't diet food. It's rich and satisfying. Your God is not skimpy with his portions when satisfying your soul's deepest need and when giving you his forgiveness. He's not stingy in bestowing righteousness. Our text says, we who trust in Christ shall neither hunger nor thirst. You will never come away from the table of God's grace with a growling stomach, unsatisfied. You will always find the righteousness you crave. Our Savior says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus' righteousness is perfect and satisfying. He never made one mistake. He never transgressed his Heavenly Father's commandments in one point. He never slipped even a little bit. And that is the perfect record that our Lord transfers to you by virtue of your faith in Jesus. It's the same rich banquet of forgiveness that was predicted by Isaiah back in the 25th chapter when he said, and in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. Jesus is truly our good shepherd, the one who feeds us with just the right food that we need for life. The wonderful gospel the message that Jesus lived and died to redeem us from our sins, that's the lush pasture that our souls feed upon. And the pure wellspring of his word is the water that our souls long for. Truly, he is our redeemer, our liberator, and our shepherd. In fact, when you come down, right down to it, Jesus Christ is everything we need. In his saving name, amen. We'll conclude our worship this morning with the singing of the general doxology.